Grow Great Daily Brief, number 139, Monday, January the 21st, 2019. How can you fix a broken culture? Welcome to Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas. My name is Randy Cantrell. Welcome inside the Yellow Studio. The website is growgreat.com. I have been asked versions of this question and this direct question many, 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 many times. And other than employee engagement, I honestly do not know of another topic that dominates leadership conversations. But they're very related. When employees are disengaged, culture isn't going to be highly productive, at least not for long. So let's begin with the fact that culture can be broken and it can also be fixed. And I start there because, quite frankly, I run across some leaders who just think the culture is organically what it is, and they are stumped, they are puzzled, they are befuddled as to how it can be changed, and many question whether or not they can do anything about it, especially really larger organizations. But we have to acknowledge that no matter what you do as a leader or as a business owner, there is a culture that exists in your organization. I sort of approach it this way, the way that I do about the stories that our people create. We can give people an accurate, truthful story of how they and their work fit, or we can just leave them to write it themselves. Leaders can create a better, more accurate picture, so why do you leave it to chance? I feel the exact same way about culture. Leaders should be busy creating and fostering the most productive, high-performing culture possible. Now, I'd love to give you some standard, I know this will work kind of an answer, but I can't. Without knowing the context of how a culture is broken or what a person even means by broken, it's impossible. I once knew a CEO who was a lifelong autocrat. An autocrat is defined as a ruler who has absolute power or someone who insists on complete obedience from others. I call them tyrants. Autocrats are domineering control freaks. It's all about them. The whole world revolves around them. Well, this particular autocratic CEO, he didn't like the culture of his company in the least. He felt it was broken because people didn't always do exactly what he wanted, when he wanted, or in the way he wanted, even without him telling them what he wanted. Sometimes they actually made decisions without him. How dare they? Talk about a bunch of hellions. Can you imagine employees who actually make decisions on their own without being told? Yeah, that was about how I reacted to him. Truth was, the culture wasn't broken. He was. Let's look in the mirror as leaders. Why do you think your culture's broken? What's broken, in your opinion? Describe it in detail. Now, you can do that by writing it down. You can record it into the voice app, memo app on your phone. You can talk with somebody. I would advise that you talk with somebody who is has an unbiased viewpoint, somebody outside the organization. This is the best starting place. Just kind of do this brain dump of, okay, well, what is the problem? Define it. It's not a challenge to your notion that the culture is broken. That's not what this is all about, but it is an attempt to get to the heart of what's happening. You're the top dog. You're the number one. And then this is a crucial exercise because, well, you have the major impact on the culture. It's rare. It's really rare to see a culture impacted by somebody more than the top dog. It is possible, and I have seen it. It's rare unless there is a personality among the leadership team that is prominent or dominant. And unless, and sometimes this is also the case, the top dog has acquiesced presence and authority to somebody else. And so we have to consider those possibilities. Now, do those situations apply in your case? I don't know. That's for you to determine. So with that, let's dive into what constitutes a high-performing culture where employees are committed to doing the best work of their lives. Sounds too good to be true, doesn't it? Well, it's not. It's fully within reach if you make it a priority and if you will do the work without compromise. So I want to encourage you to believe. I'm going to take a simple three-prong approach to this, and this is in logical order. You can make your own application as we go along. Belief. Belief. What you believe is the foundation of the culture that you will create, that you will tolerate, that you will foster. If we refuse to start here, then we're just dealing with tactics and strategies, and I hate that. They matter. I'm not minimizing them, but They only matter if you're coming from a place of honesty and truth, namely what you believe to be true. Your culture will reflect your beliefs and the collective beliefs of your organization. So these matter. These matter a lot. Now, if you are a leader of a small team, it applies. So make application. If you are displeased with the current state of things, your present culture, then spend time looking closely at what you believe and what your leadership team believes. Now, it may be helpful to pull the team together and have some deep discussions about it. You need to wrestle this down. Do whatever it takes, because until you get this ironed out, there's not going to be any positive movement. My suggestion is that you instill the fact that this work is a priority for you and your leadership. Just here, let me give you a side note. It's also important that your beliefs be passed on. It is important that your team, that your people, believe what you believe, or at least that they have enough respect that they can embrace it. Craft a statement that collects your beliefs. I mean, these are like fuel for a culture engine. All decisions, all discussions, all behaviors are going to stem from these beliefs. They are all going to be congruent with beliefs. You will not make any decision. You will not have any discussion. You will not behave in any way that isn't in agreement with what you believe. You can act, but you're not that good. I mean, if you were, you'd be in Hollywood. At the end of every day, we've been who we truly are. Well, we can improve that, but it has to begin with our commitment to what we believe. Change what you believe and your behavior will change. Last week, I talked about this in episode 134. It was an episode on leadership, particularly on our expressions of belief. In fact, it was just a week ago today. So go back and give episode 134 a listen if you care. Next, communication. After all is said and done, more is said than done. Somebody said that, and I suppose it's true, but it incorrectly minimizes what's said and what is heard and what is understood. Messaging is important. We're creatures who communicate. We talk, we write, we draw, we watch. We're computing a zillion little signals every second to read situations, to read people. It's all communication. What do you communicate, and how you communicate it contribute to the culture? You can communicate the same thing in a variety of ways that will produce a very different emotion and very different thoughts. The situation and the context, yeah, they matter too. Be yourself, but be your best self. Now, you could be an authentic jerk, right? The autocrat that I described earlier, he can be honest and he can be authentic and he can communicate, but that's not going to help things. Grow Great isn't focused on just making money or achieving financial success. It's deeper. It's broader than that. There are plenty of jerks. There are plenty of autocrats who do achieve financial success. That does not make them good people. And in my opinion, does not make them successful people. Let's assume you're good people. I think you are. And let's assume, and I think this is true too, that you're working to be even better. You wouldn't be listening to a podcast called Grow Great if that weren't the case. Communicate well. Improve your communication. A, communicate the beliefs. B, communicate how those beliefs will become reality inside the organization or inside your team. C, communicate how everybody will leverage those beliefs and how they'll benefit from those beliefs. D, communicate what you will do, then do it. E, communicate when you fail and promise to fix it and do better. Leaders who cannot apologize when they are wrong, they're not worthy of the role. Thirdly and lastly, action. What you do matters. But first, what you believe matters, and what you say or communicate matter. In short, it all matters. Your culture is a direct reflection of these three things: belief, communication, and action. I've just simply put them in the order in which they naturally occur. First, we think. We believe. Then we communicate. Okay, if only to ourselves. Then we act based on those things. Organizations focus mostly on the output. Right? You're focused on sales, you're focused on revenues, you're focused on profits, you're focused on the number of widgets cranked out, whatever it may be, you're focused on output. Too rarely do we give due consideration to the beliefs and the communication that foster the action that gives us the output, because those are the precursors to actions. Are you anxious to change the actions inside your company? You anxious to change the output? Many people are. then get busy changing your beliefs and your communication, because if the actions that you want don't mirror current beliefs and communications, well, it's never going to happen. You need alignment. You need alignment of all three in order to correct any culture killers. But there's a big disconnect. It is a big disconnect. We say we believe something, but we make decisions and we take actions that aren't congruent with that. Yeah, we say one thing, we do something different. And the workforce is confused. And they spend a lot of time trying to resolve the obvious differences that they perceive. I would never advise it, but tyrannical leaders, the really good, if there is such a thing, the really good tyrannical leader is better off owning their tyranny. Yep, we're going to take every advantage of you that we can. We are going to get every last bit of life from you that we can, because we only care about one thing, bottom line profits. We don't care about your quality of life. We don't care how fulfilled you are. We care about our expensive homes, our expensive toys, and our luxury lifestyle. So dig in and get this work done so our incomes will soar this year. Be refreshing, wouldn't it, if a leader got up and said that? If they were a tyrant. We all know why that doesn't happen. Nobody would work. Nobody would work for such a person as that. Well, the only reason that they would is if they were money whipped. And yeah, there are cases of that. There are certain sectors of industry where people are money whipped. They work in a really tyrannical culture, but they're making so much money, they don't think they can leave. It's not common, but it happens. And it's a really bad situation. So the tyrants don't do that. What they have to do is they have to fake being good people. They have to con their workforce. They have to pretend to be one thing, but really they're somebody different. And sometimes these tyrants have an interest in company culture because they know the game. So they feign interest in the things that are best for the company, things that are best for the people. Well, the workers know. Workers know when the leader's fake. My best advice, if you're working for a tyrant, run. Just run. Don't convince yourself that they're going to change and suddenly become a good person. It's possible, but in my 30-plus years experience in running, it's highly unlikely. Don't risk your life. Don't risk your career on it. It's not a safe bet. On the flip side, there is no excuse for good people to fail at creating a good culture. There just isn't. Now, sometimes leaders will read too much. It's not the reading that's problematic. It's that leaders start trying to execute everything they just read. The problem is, again, the reliance on a tactic or a strategy instead of relying on your deep beliefs to drive your communication, to drive your action. It's why you hear me say repeatedly, you'll figure it out. You have got to figure this out. You can't just go copycat somebody. So you're tempted to hop around from the latest, greatest, coolest trick as culture building tactic to the next one and then the next one. And here's what happens. It exhausts your people. They never know what's coming next. They all know that you're reading. They all know you're listening to somebody. They all know that you're attending another seminar, and they are dreading the result. It doesn't stick. Nothing sticks, and nothing's going to stick until you start getting in touch with what you firmly believe, the things that you just will not waver on. So grab a mirror, look intently at yourself, take responsibility for the culture that you now have and for the one that you want to build. Be accountable. Be accountable to every person inside your organization. Be accountable to every person served by your organization. And welcome to leadership. I know it's lonely. I do have an answer for that if you are a U.S.-based entrepreneur. Just go check out thepeeradvantage.com. Thepeeradvantage.com. Be well, do good, grow great. I know today is a holiday for some of you. It's MLK Day, so happy MLK Day, I guess, and happy day if you work at a bank or some other place where you're off today. But the rest of us cats, we're out here digging and hustling, working hard. My name is Randy Cantrell. The website is growgreat.com. I'll see you tomorrow.